Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson said that England has reached a perilous turning point and has set out new coronavirus restrictions which could last for up to 6 months. Will they work? Is it too little, too late? I'm joined now by Professor Paul Hunter, Professor of Medicine at the University of East Anglia. Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening.
I'm not going to go through the entire list, but some of the new restrictions in England now, shop staff are going to have to wear face masks, weddings are going to be limited to a maximum of 15 people, there's going to be fines now for breaking laws on gatherings and not wearing masks of up to £200, I think. Do you think they're going to be effective?
And the more on repeat offences.
And more after the first offence, indeed. Are they going to work, though?
Well, it depends to a large extent what you mean by are they going to work. All of these new restrictions, new interventions, are likely to have some effect. And I think every single one of them will in some way or other suppress transmission of the infection. The issue is whether or not, as a whole, this package of measures will be enough to suppress the epidemic as we move through the winter. And I think it is extremely unlikely that what we are suggesting at the moment will indeed lead to a diminishing of the epidemic between now and Christmas. And I think we are likely to see, and indeed across all of Western Europe, as we move into the winter, that the disease will spread and case numbers will increase. And to a certain extent, all these measures are doing is perhaps just slowing that somewhat until hopefully we have a vaccine early in next year.
Two-part question for you, please. Is a circuit break lockdown just another name, a new packaging for localised lockdown? And does it work?
Well, I think it's quite interesting that the phrase circuit breaker lockdown was not apparently used today, and for hopefully for very good reasons, in that it has come into quite a lot of criticism over the weekend from a number of epidemiologists in the UK. The problem with these short-term lockdowns is that as the disease is increasing in a population, it generally increases quite rapidly. And as we heard the last week or so, the infection has been increasing, typically about doubling every week, plus or minus. The problem is that when you actually impose restrictions, the decline is never anywhere near as fast as the upswing. And so 2 weeks in a really intense lockdown probably is the equivalent of delaying the epidemic by about a week or so. So ultimately, they probably don't actually have that much impact.
So are you saying that they should be open-ended where you have introduced them, that you wait until you see the figures down to a level that is desirable?
And you would then have to wait for many weeks and a few months, as we did in April, May, June. I think the problem is that we're now, certainly in the UK, I think that the consensus very much is that we cannot damage our children's education more by an extended period of lockdown that would entail closing of schools and closing of large parts of the economy. And I think we really need to be thinking about this in a different way now. We need to be thinking, well, we're not really going to suppress the epidemic this winter that much. And what we really need to be thinking about is how do we protect and support our particularly vulnerable people. So rather than trying to suppress, although we need to continue to do that, suppress the epidemic as a whole, we also need to be focusing much more, in my view, on protecting the vulnerable people, the older people, and people with pre-existing disease. And I think we can do that. We now know a lot more about what sort of factors make people particularly susceptible to severe disease. And really, I think the thing to make the biggest difference now is to help these people, identify these people, help them understand their risks, help them to understand how they can protect themselves and support them doing that. Okay. And I think that is probably the way forward.
I don't know what term you're giving to that strategy now, but I know at the beginning of the pandemic, we were over this side of the Irish Sea calling that the shield strategy, that you take our vulnerable people, you place them behind a protective shield.
Yes, but there absolutely. I mean, that is certainly an element of that. Yes, that is part of the strategy.
But there are very, very many mental health and physical health problems associated with putting people, the vulnerable, behind that kind of a protective
absolutely.
Wall.
So if we are to do that, what we need to do is work out how to do that in a way that does not pose psychological harm to individuals, that does enable them
indeed.
To continue.
And have you squared that particular circle?
Pardon?
Have you squared that particular circle?
Well, that's...
it's an unfair question, I know.
No, I'm an infectious disease expert. I'm not a mental health expert. But we are having to make some very difficult balanced decisions here, and it's going to be about how we can help people and support people, and and we do need a lot more input from mental health services and mm-hmm. from social scientists on how that circle, that square, so could be circle could be squared in a way that does protect these people, but at the same time helps them to still lead worthwhile lives with a. And does not adversely affect their mental health.
The
but
takeaway,
right, it's not easy.
The takeaway from this interview for me, though, isn't correct me if I'm wrong, where we are currently say that we won't do some of the things so that we can do other things, you're saying that if you actually wanted to stop this virus, you would have to stop doing all the things. And that's just not possible.
Absolutely. I mean, if it was possible to go back to the sorts of lockdown that we had in March, April, then yes, we could probably suppress it if that was implemented soon. The problem with that is that the downsides of that are so severe in terms of the impacts on our children's education and on the economic health of the country that it almost certainly would not be feasible and would not be acceptable in the long term. So, yeah, it is trying to balance all these issues, and it is not easy.
Wisdom of Solomon, indeed. Professor Paul Hunter, Professor in Medicine, Management and Support at the University of East Anglia, thank you very much.